Coming Home Late, Part 1. Copyright sonicerotica.com. There is nothing quite like the feeling of your breath, soft and wet on my neck as your lips work a line slowly down from my ear. There is not much that compares with your hands on my skin as you traverse the shapes of my face, my cheeks and my lips, etching my image inside of your mind. On the phone, you had said you were coming home late. After I had slid a bowl with some food for you into the chaos of the fridge, I showered unhurriedly, relaxing in the stinging heat and the steam. I'd waited up, listening to the sound of the rain on the roof, the thud and the echo as it rose in intensity. The wind whipped hard through the trees outside, and I'd thought of you out there, jacket pulled up to your chin, closing in what little heat you had left. Your face would be cold, and your fingers too, curled tightly inwards in the pockets of your jeans. I'd tired of the book I'd been reading, and let it fall to the floor somewhere amidst the tangle of clothes and outdated magazines. We'd never really been very tidy people. The incense had long burned, but the traces of smoke still hung low in the room. I'd stretched out in the scent, heady and luxurious, letting the cover slide low over my hips, my bare skin glowing warm in the light of the lamp by our bed. I always left the lamp on when you were home late. These days I never really could sleep without the warmth of you curled next to me, without the familiar weight of you making our old mattress sag in the middle. I'd long learned to love the rhythm of your breathing, to gently place my hand on you as your ribs rose and fell. I could feel your heart flutter lightly, a bird trapped in the ivory cage of your chest. I was drowsy in the half-light, warm on my side of the bed. If I stretched out a little further, the mattress felt cold under my fingers. Your pillow smelled like your hair, and I swapped it with mine to feel closer to you. Still the rain drummed loudly, and the wind tore at the skeletal clotheslines, wires protesting loudly as a forgotten shirt writhed morosely. The world receded, until all that existed lay trapped lethargically in the tiny puddle of tungsten glow of the lamp. Like an insect in amber, my limbs slowed, and I lay curled in our nest, eyelids narrowing out the remains of the room. There's the metallic slide and then crunch of the key as the lock lazily opens its teeth and the mouth of the room opens. The wail of the wind races in before you do, and I hear you stomp on the doormat and shake out your umbrella. The door closes, and as one eye slides open, I can feel by the weight in your footsteps that you're tired from your day. In the half-dark, my hand fumbles for mismatched socks. I pad out to the kitchen in my underwear, and you protest my staying awake, but welcome the bed warmth of me as you struggle out of your wet jacket and collapse on the armrest of the couch. The day drips off you like the drops fattening on the ends of your hair. I inhale sharply as your icy fingers pull me close to you and press me closer to the smell of the rain. You're tired, but still alert, the city edges still protruding from your walk from the train station. The bowl finds its way back into a pot on the stovetop as blue gas flames flicker to life and you recount the day. The chill has seeped into my skin by now, and I pull on an old t-shirt, softened and stretched from so many nights like this one. Rich tomato mixes in with basil and simmering vegetables as I grind a little more pepper into your soup. You've already started on the bread, eager for something warm in the hollow of your stomach. It's times like these, when I find myself roused from bed in the chill of the night, speech slurring as I'm stirring lazy circles in a pot of soup, unkempt and dishevelled, that I know that I love you. I take a bite of the crust of your toast as you blow on a spoonful of soup. We talk about the book I've been reading. You've always thought it slightly perverse how I devour the letters, never savouring the fine flavours like a well-cooked meal. There is something almost violent in my conquest of battered paperbacks that lay spent and forgotten, abjectly gathering dust in the corners of the house. You read less, but savour more, weighing the words carefully, reading in measured sips. So much, I suppose, like the way you are with me, unhurried and obsessed with the tiny details of the texture and taste of my skin. I retreat to the warmth of the bed as you peel yourself from your remaining clothes and stumble into the shower, fading fast as the weight of the food settles into your stomach and warms your insides. Intermittent sounds mingle with the constant thrumming of the water beating down on the taut skin of the roof. The creaking tap, the idle whir of the fan, the sounds of you closing doors and turning off lights, the feeling of the house drawing a tight circle around us. You peel back the covers and look me over, never seeming to tire of the sight of my body stretched out on the bed. It takes a moment before your hands follow your eyes and your fingers seek out my hollows and rises, tracing the lines that sink into shadows. You have hands like a surgeon, precise and objective, touching gently but intently. When it's like this, you are always so focused, and I oblige without words to your inquiries into my yielding flesh. I'm rolled over onto my stomach now and drawn back like a...